Is he here? Yeah. He left. So we'll have to wait on that one, won't we? All right, do we have any other testimonies? Well, we'll take small ones. Come up. Jim has a testimony, but we're going to wait and let him give it. It's pretty awesome.
Hi. Okay. Anyway, so I'm so happy. I am full of joy. Okay. It was imparted to me again. Thank you, God, because it's been really dry. And I'm like, oh, drudging through this stuff. Anyway, but back to the testimony. Anyway, the testimony is the Lord asked me, he said, would you prostrate before me? And you know me, I'm like, where? No, anyway. So I went back and did, and thank goodness. I felt the Holy Spirit in my arm, and the Holy Spirit is in the process of working. I felt the energy of the Holy Spirit, because he's healed before, and it's been a long time, but he was there. And so I just want to say thank you, God, and bless you for giving me the things that I need.
Stand still for a second.
Thank you.
Father God, we just thank you that you're beginning a healing in Pam's arm and her elbow. And we stand with Pam in Jesus' name. We speak healing into this elbow. We release the power and presence of the Holy Spirit into this elbow to complete the work. And we just thank you, Father, that you're making all things new. And what you're not making new, you're restoring. And we just thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.
Oh, thank you.
Amen.
Oh, thank you. I received that. Thank you very much.
Anybody else? Come on up, Allie.
Okay, second time coming up here. Well, I'm a freshman now, and I thought to myself that high school was going to be really boring and like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get beat up by the higher grades and everything. But I'm that kind of person that I can take a punch in the mouth, but, you know. I went to school the first day, and I got to know my sister's friends and everything, and I got to see my old friends, and we went in and turned in our paperwork, me and my sister, and they go, well, we need a bill. I was like, okay, well, we couldn't get a hold of my mom, and then finally after, like, five calls, I think it was, we finally got a hold of her. We go, Mom, we need a bill. Well, of course, she says, well, it's going to take me a while, about an hour to fax it to the school. I said, okay. Well, in that hour or so, we were able to sit down in front of the office and everything, and there was still people, like, going into the office, and there was, like, a long line and everything. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, you know, high school right now isn't so bad. I'm having so much fun sitting here with my sister and her friends and everything, and I mean, I have not got beaten up by higher grades. So I'm sitting here, and I was like, finally, we went into the cafeteria, and I was sitting with this girl that she moved in like fifth or sixth grade, I think it was, and her name was AJ, and she was really, really popular and everything. I go up to her, I was like, hey, AJ, what's wrong? And she goes, nothing, I'm just waiting for my mom. I was like, oh, because she moved to Florida. And I was like, okay, well, she's sitting by herself, and she hasn't talked to any of her old friends or anything. So I said, I'll just go talk to her. Well, I went up to her, and I said, you know, life is really good. She goes, why do you say that? I was like, because to me, I've gone to church. I've heard a lot of things about high school. But right now, life is really good because I'm sitting here with you. I'm talking to you. I am here with my sister, and I'm here with everybody else. And she goes, yeah, in a way you could put life is good and everything. And so finally the teacher comes in and she goes, well, your mom brought a bill, but it was an insurance bill, so y'all can just go ahead and go to school. Because if we didn't have a bill, then we couldn't go to class. So, finally, I walked in my class, and everybody just, like, was like, whoa, there's Allie. And, no, for real, they, like, just, like, looked at me, and I was like, okay. And So I was sitting there, and I was talking to some friends that I have not ever talked to in my entire life out of the whole school year. And they just started talking to me. And then, like, I think it was the second day, Mr. Garson called me to the office. And I was like, yeah, what I do now? And he goes, he said something like, this year you've been, like, really good the first 2 days and everything. And I was like, the third day, I was like, am I supposed to, like, get in trouble on the third day or something? And he goes, no, I just wanted to say thank you for helping AJ out and everything and showing her that, you know, there's still people out here in Pilot Point that still like her and everything. And I was like, so. And I don't feel like a fish anymore. I feel much higher now. I feel like a senior. Because, like, everybody doesn't treat me so bad. I mean, I thought everybody was going to be like, hey, look, there's this stupid one from with freshmen and everything. I was like, you know, not that stupid. But, I mean, I told everybody life is good. And I, like, they asked me, do you go to church? And I was like, yeah, I go to church. And they go, what church? And I was like, Cross Timbers. And I go, God is so good. And, yeah, so.
Thank you. Sounds like God's setting her up. You know, there's something going on there, Allie. You just need to remember, since the Holy Spirit healed your ear, you haven't been quite the same, have you? No. Well, you're taking the atmosphere of heaven with you into your school. That's what's really cool, because it's the presence of the Holy Spirit, and there's the atmosphere has shifted and changed. So you need to nurture that and continue to press into the Lord and let Him build greater intimacy in you, because when you take it into the school, people want it. They don't know what they want, but they want it. Come on up.
As you know, school has started, and I go to school at Pilot Point, and I got held back, so I don't know anybody. So I just met this kid at school just a few days ago, and he was really into goth and all that, and really bad into it, and really conquered by the devil. But I told him all about God and how He has treated me and how He has healed me. And he suddenly said, you know, I have been healed, but I never really thought of it that way. So he has gone to church ever since then and said, I have been baptized and I have accepted God into my life.
Awesome. Anyone else? Anyone else have a testimony this morning? Remember, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When we speak of the things that God has done in our life, it creates an opportunity and a spiritual breakthrough point for someone else who hears that testimony. Carrie?
Well, I wasn't sure about coming up or not because I'm in the middle of the Lord. I'm in the middle of the Lord kind of breaking through some walls in my heart. And so I'm like, I know the Lord's not finished with what He's doing, so I'm not sure what to share. But I think I shared last week that when I went to the Women of Faith, there were several areas where the Lord had showed me I had closed off my heart, you know, because of a lot of past things. So I began to let that open up so that God can work in me and move in me. And there are some things that I think He's calling our family to do. And my daughter Liberty has been hearing from the Lord on a couple of things, and my husband has been receptive. But I have a plan for my life, you know. And it didn't really go with my plan. And so I think the Lord showed me yesterday morning, I was sharing with my husband, said God is showing me that it is better to be in his will and doing the things that he wants for us to than to make our own little plans and try to live that dream, you know, that we think in our mind is the thing that's going to make us happy, because we will never have true joy and true peace unless we are in the will in the hands of God. So I need y'all to pray for me, because I'm probably going to be taking a couple of steps of faith that are big for me, just to keep following the Lord. And like I said, I feel like I'm kind of sharing a half testimony here, but God is working these things in me. And so anyway, I just want to be open to him, and I want to let the walls fall down in my heart.
Stand right here for a second. Let's pray for Carrie. Everybody raise your hand forward. Father, we lift up Carrie to you, and we just thank you, Father, that you're such a loving God, and we praise you, and we adore you for the wonderful work that you're doing in Carrie. And, Father, we ask that as the walls come down, that she would see you, Papa, on the other side of the wall, and that she would sense the safety and security of following him that you have for her, and that as the walls come down, Papa, that she would be able to step across where the rubble was and step into a deeper, more intimate place of you, Lord, and receive and experience in you all your heart's desire for her. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else? Isn't this awesome? This is why we have things to be thankful for. Each person here, as Jonathan was talking about earlier, has something to be thankful. Every time, the fact that we can breathe and have air in our lungs is a good thing to be thankful about. But there are small things and big things that the Lord has touched our lives with. And every day we need to reflect on the goodness and mercies of God. Because everybody knows out in the world and on the news, there's just so much stuff there that just, if you watch all of it, it can just make you sick to your stomach, depress you, you know, get you down. And God wants us to walk above it. And when we have a grateful and a thankful heart, which means we meditate on his goodness and what he's done in our lives, then we can go around with a smile on our face and not be burdened by the things that we see. So I just want to encourage you to do that.
All of their days, they could remember this guy there at the temple, and now he's up jumping around and all this good stuff, okay? And so that causes quite a stir. Okay? And so the onlookers gather around, and gives Peter the opportunity to share Jesus with everybody. And then, because Jesus is testifying about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and that Jesus is alive, and this is how this happened, is because of Jesus is alive, the Sanhedrin, you know, come into the scene now. The Sanhedrin is made up of Pharisees and Sadducees, and this is the group of the Sanhedrin are the Sadducees that do not believe in the resurrection. And the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. And so that was a major dividing point between the Pharisees and Sadducees. But they make up this ruling religious council. Well, so essentially it's talking about the resurrection of the dead, that Jesus came back to life. The Pharisees are, yeah, yeah. And the Sadducees, we got to do something about this guy. So the Sadducees go and they haul Peter and John before the Sanhedrin because the Sadducees are going to grill them and find out, you know, all this stuff and try to tell them, be quiet, don't talk. So Peter and John, you know, talk to the Sadducees. And then in verse 13 it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Okay? They noticed one of the marks of Peter and John as they stood before this council was that they had courage. The Holy Spirit gave them courage. But as we read on in the story in Acts chapter 4, you know, they basically, the Sanhedrin says, okay, well, there's nothing we can really charge you with, but what you don't ever speak about Jesus again in public. And Peter and John said, well, I'm sorry, but we can't do that. We're going to speak and testify to that which we know to be true. And so, but they release them, and so Peter and John, they go back to the believers, you know, who are kind of huddled, and they're praying for them because, you know, they're before the Sanhedrin. So they're praying, give them courage, Lord. Well, in chapter 4, while they're now back with their people, they start praying. And one of the things that they pray in verse 29 is, now, Lord, consider their threats, referring to the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin, who said, we'll put you in jail if you testify about Jesus. And so here's the prayer of the believers. Now, they notice they had courage. But now they're praying, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. They're already courageous. But now they're saying, man, the ante has been upped in this whole testimony thing. That we have, with courage, spoken out about Jesus. Now there's opposition. So they just go back to the Lord and say, Lord, give us more boldness. Increase our courage. So that when we have the opportunity, we're not intimidated by the threats that have been presented to us, but we have great boldness. And so they're praying that, and it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out, and they spoke the word of God boldly. God, I ask this morning, I thank you for Allie's testimony of her telling her friend how good God is. I thank you for the testimony that Dakota shared with us and in school that he visited with his friend and was talking about God. And Lord, that takes courage. It takes courage for each one of us to share about Jesus. But I would ask that your Spirit would be poured out upon each person here and that we would be a people who have greater boldness than before. That as any time that we have the opportunity to share Jesus, that your courage and your boldness that come forth from your Holy Spirit would be given to us and that we would live and walk in your boldness. Not in our strength, but in your boldness to speak your words to the world waiting to hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go forth in boldness and proclaim the goodness of God. Amen? Okay. Tim bought Corinne a new computer the other day and bought her a Mac, which means you can do all kinds of video editing real simply. And so Corinne decided, you know, I can do this now. And she doesn't need Tim anymore because she's got the Mac who will do it all for her. Yeah, and so she put together a short video of the kids and their Camp Dry Gulch stuff, okay? And so she's been waiting to show this thing. I said, okay, today we can. So Ben, crank that baby up and let's see what happens.
Through my brain, and I just can't take it. Midwestern girls, and they're brown. Living a life of luxury. Going to chapel.
You want to share anything real quick with the congregation?
Did you get it in the beginning? We had a really good time, her and I. It was really going to be longer if we showed you how much fun we had, but we had to really cut it short, and I know it wasn't short enough probably, but we had a great time. I first want to just say thank you to y'all as a church to let us go, and the Sherry Fox Legacy Fund and all the people who sponsored and helped and paid and prayed.
And it turns out to be a great week for the kids and a great week for the sponsors. but they really do a good job at Dry Gulch, and this just shows a teeny bit of how much fun the kids have. They make sure it's like really upbeat and loud and fun, and they take a really good time making sure each activity is very well planned and very structured, and they do a great job of that. And so that's why we could have so much fun, because they really do a good job. And so I just want to take a few minutes just to encourage the kids that are older to consider talking to Sherry about being a counselor up there, because it's a great place, I'm pretty sure. Did you get to share already in church? Okay, good. Well, then she's going to share. We'll let her share more. But I just want to say thank you to Nikki. She was our main sponsor, and she did a great job. So thank you, Miss Nikki. And if you're interested, we're going to show a long video and have some other time. We have a little discrepancy of the date that's going to work, because we want to make sure that anybody that wants to come can come. So we're going to send out a little invitation to all the kids that came to Dry Gulch. So they make sure they can come. We're going to have that ice cream party we promised y'all. And then, but the whole church wants to come, we're still going to send an invitation, because some of you might want to see how cool and the long video of each kid on the blob. Nikki did a good job of getting videos of each kid, and so it's a lot of fun. So anyway, thank you.
I just want to say thank you to the moms who send their kids 5 hours north into Oklahoma with people they don't know necessarily, or ladies driving vans full of kids. Thank you for trusting us, and thank you for sending your kids. And if you haven't sent them yet, don't hesitate. It's a great place. It's better than any camp I ever went to as a kid, and I'll send my kids as long as they're old enough. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 66. And that's going to be the last chapter in Isaiah. There's a question that God asks Isaiah. And it's a question that stirs somebody's imagination. And God, I just ask that you would just stir our imagination and help us to see the possibilities that you lay before us. God, that nothing is impossible with you, and that you can do far more than what we can imagine or think or even ask for, that we would dare to believe. You are capable of doing stuff that we cannot believe for. And yet, you ask us to. And so, Father, from the depths of our heart, we want to be a people that hear your voice and respond to the things that you call us to. So give us faith to believe that you are a God who can do all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now in Isaiah chapter 66, there's a question that God asks Isaiah, and he phrases it this way in verse 8. But before we, let's start at 7, because that's where it starts. It says, before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Thinking in terms of a pregnant woman who's about ready to give birth, and it says, before that woman goes into labor, she gives birth. Now, right off the bat, that conflicts with what we think is normal, right? Any mother who's ever had any babies know that you go into labor, and then after the period of labor, then you have the birth. And that's the natural sequence of things. And here, God is saying to Isaiah, before she goes into labor, she gives birth. Before the pains come upon her, she delivers a son. Kind of challenges our thinking. God is up to something. So in verse 8, who has ever heard of such a thing? Who has ever seen such a thing? And then he asked the question, can a country be born in a day? Or a nation be brought forth in a moment? Some translations would say, can a country be saved in a day? So I want us to think for a moment, because God is really challenging Isaiah to think in terms that God can do some things instantaneously, that we tend to think, no, this is a long process type of stuff. And God says, no, some things that I do, we go from one moment it's this way, the next moment everything has shifted, everything is new, and it's different. And he talks about that's going to come. Isaiah says there's coming this day in which one of those shifts takes place. Now, we happen to be on this side of that shift. So jumping ahead a little bit, the cross and the resurrection was one of those shifts, one of those events that at one point we're here on this side of the cross, the next moment we're over here, and everything changed as a result. But when he asked this question, Isaiah is probably sitting there, well, I don't know about that. Let's see. And then if we go back into history, we find out that God gave us a very physical, concrete example of one of these shifts that takes place. And it's in Israel's history. Israel has been in captivity in Egypt for 435 years. Okay, so look in Exodus. In the book of Exodus, chapter 12, this is going to be the 10th plague. And so as Moses comes up to Pharaoh and the 10th plague is about to happen, God gives through Moses instructions for the children of Israel. You know, tonight I'm going to send my angel over the land of Egypt. And anybody who will go and kill an unblemished lamb and put that lamb's blood on the doorpost, and they gather inside that house where that's covered over with blood or marked by the blood, anybody that's in that house, the angel will come through the land of Egypt. They'll see that blood marking, and they'll pass over that house. But if that house is not marked with blood, the angel will enter into that household and will kill the firstborn male in that household. Not just people-wise, but livestock as well that belong to that household. So, verse 29, it says, at midnight the Lord struck down all the firstborn of Egypt. From the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead in the entire land of Egypt. Okay, now this happened at midnight. Okay, the angel passes through the land at midnight. During the night, Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians were aware something tragic has happened. Every household was touched with death. Except in the land of Goshen, where the Hebrews lived, and they had marked their houses with the blood, and the angel passed over their homes. It says, during the night, I mean, they're not even going to wait for morning. During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, up, get out of here. Leave my people, you and the Israelites, you go worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said, and go. And in your going, please bless me. You know. So before sunrise even occurs, we're talking 6 hours. Within 6 hours, Israel, who is at one point in slavery, within 6 hours, Pharaoh is saying, get your rear end out of this country. I never want to see you again. You are free to leave. And then the story goes, and oh, by the way, the Egyptians were so glad to see them out of their country, that anything that the Israelites asked for, the Egyptians gave to them. And so it goes on and it says, the Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise they said, we're all going to die. So the people took the dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did what Moses instructed. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed toward the people, and they gave them what they asked for. So they plundered the Egyptians. Can a nation be born in a day? And Israel was set free in less than a day. Six 100,000 men, not counting the women and children, set free in less than 6 hours. So it's not hard for Isaiah to look back and say, well, God did that for us in our history. Because when they left, there was this dynamic shift that took place. We were captives. We were slaves. We were owned by somebody else, therefore we owned nothing. To the next thing we know, we are free and we have everything. We have plundered the land of Egypt. And so now now we have the story of God bringing the deliverance to Israel, and they're walking in their freedom and they're going on. Well, listen, it is possible for God to make these monumental shifts in history. And it does not take God a long time to do those things. That when God speaks and he begins to bring forth his word to fulfill that which is spoken, it can happen very quickly. So for you guys who have given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is gone. Behold, and that behold is behold. Like, whoa, it just happened. It's kind of like the Israelites being set free. Behold, the new has come. So anybody who is in Christ, the old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. How long did that take? You know, when the Lord returns and God begins to come, how long is it going to take him to get here? Are we going to hear something and look up and see these clouds just slowly gathering and parting, and then it's like, hurry up, come on, get here? Or is it in the twinkling of an eye? In the blink of an eye, he's here. Which is it? The Bible says in the twinkling of an eye, he's here. It's like, it's not going to be a long process. It's okay, it's done. When we give our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, the new comes. There's a shift that takes place in our life. Now, one of the challenges for us then as God's people, the shift has come. I am now a new creature. But oftentimes, we still have memories of this life. Like the Israelites, they get 3 days into the journey, and they run out of water, and they start grumbling, and we're very familiar with the Israelites and their whole appeal, that whenever we run into difficulty, where did they want to go back to? We want to go back here. Why? Because at least we had something to eat back here. At least we had something to drink back here. And here, you know, we're out of food and we're out of water. And God says, that's not a problem. We can make some water. You know, I can provide food for you. But the Israelites said, it's better to go back in Egypt, or at least we had some food and water, and die back there than to die out here. Now, what kind of logic is that? We can go back in captivity and die back in captivity, or we can die in freedom. Which do you want to, you know, what's it going to be? Well, I choose to die in freedom, okay? I choose to live in freedom and not go back. Now, you know, they could never go back anyway. It was only in their mind that they could go back. You realize that, don't you? Has anybody ever been to a 15-year class reunion or something, and you're going to go back and see all your buddies? And you go back, and it's just not the same. Well, man, we were real good friends when we were in high school. And then you go back, and it's like, you're not friends anymore. Yeah, it's like, man, we've changed. I've changed, they've changed, and man, it's just not the same. Have you ever wanted to go back to the place where you grew up? Yeah. And you go back, and you think, it's just not the same. You can never go back. You know why that is? Because we have etched in our mind that place of our dwelling when we were a little kid. Actually, we go back in time to that place. But in reality, when we're thinking in our mind, we're going to go back to that idealistic, you know, situation of growing up, and we have great fond memories of it. And then you go back, but everything there in the neighborhood has changed. The people aren't the same. Yeah, the situations aren't the same. And it's changed because you can't go back in time to recreate what it was. It's only in our mind that we can go back there. And so when people go back, no, it wasn't the same. Well, of course it wasn't the same because life changes all the time. Amen? So one of the problems, the Israelites, they were just wanting to go back here. And God says, no, I want you to go this way and walk in freedom. So there was a shift that took place for them, and they had a hard time adjusting to it. We are now free, but we still want to go back here, even though here doesn't exist. If they went back to Egypt, what would they find? The land that was the most prosperous and powerful nation on the earth, when they were in captivity, no longer existed because Pharaoh's army is now gone. The military might of the strongest nation on the earth destroyed in one day. The wealth of Egypt they have over here. If they're going to go back here, they're going back into to a people who have given all their stuff away. And they're going back into a place that isn't the same as when they lived there before. So they could never really go back. They're going to go back to where people no longer have money for the things that they had before. Now, we sometimes do the same thing. We want to just kind of go back and relive that, and it just doesn't work. And that's why, for us, the shift. The old has passed away. And what's the old that passed away? We tend to think in terms of the old that passes away is this sin nature. And as part of it is sin nature. But what has come, the old that passed away is that if I'm going to approach God, I've got to go there. Under the Old Testament, there is Jerusalem. That's where the temple is. That is where you go to worship God. He's there. So we got to go there. And we got to keep journeying there to get to Him. One of the major shifts that takes place in our life is, behold, the new has come. And the new that has come is that the temple is no longer in Jerusalem. The temple of God is here. That we have become the temple of God. Awesome. God's Spirit lives in us. So that means, folks, that's good news for us. Because that means that wherever you go, God goes. You like that? Wherever you go, God goes. If the Spirit of God is in you and you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, wherever you go, God goes. Ha! That's pretty neat, isn't it? That means, Allie, when you go into Pilot Point School District and you walk into that door and you walk into your classroom, guess who's in that classroom? God. Because His Spirit is in you, so He's in your room where you go. That means when your wife calls you and says, "Honey, let's go get some. Let's go to the cultural center of the United States." Yeah, okay, that sounds good. And she says, "Good, we're going to go shop at Walmart." Yeah. And so you think, "Oh, Walmart! Oh my gosh!" Yeah. And so you go, "Oh, yeah." Guess who goes into Walmart when you go into Walmart? God goes in there. God is so serendipity in this stuff that wherever you go, God goes. Amen? So just understand, when you go to work, God goes with you. When you go to school, God's there. When you go to your into your neighbor's house to ransack their house and tear it up as a kid, okay, you know, God goes with you, helping you. Now, the Holy Spirit probably telling you what not to do, Austin. But so we're, you know, life can be very serendipity, because the fact is we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God goes with us. There's not a place that we put our feet in which God is not there. Now, that has tremendous ramifications for us. That means wherever I go, God is there. So that means that I have the ability to release the presence of God to those around me. It's just natural. I can do that. Now, oftentimes we choose not to because we want to live back over here like nothing ever changed. And it's kind of secure over here where nothing happens. But now all of a sudden, the presence of God is in me through His Holy Spirit, and He goes wherever I go, and I can now release the presence to those people around me. Whoa. Hey. That means some exciting things can happen. Have you ever been shopping, or you've ever been somewhere where you've seen somebody and they're just having a bad hair day and they're just really miserable? Okay. And what is when you see somebody is just really in, you know, having a horrible day, what's your thought about that person? Man, I'm glad that's not me. Okay. But maybe a better way of for us thinking is, man, I would love to have them be in my shoes. Because my feet are shod with the gospel of peace. I want them to have what I have. And I want to begin to release the presence of God into their life. Now, we could do that. Or we can just say, well, I'm glad I'm not in their shoes, and just watch them be in misery. And that's kind of living back over here. And so that is why the Bible encourages all the time in the New Testament that as we live, it says We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that God's Spirit lives in us. And He says the Spirit of God is to be the driving force or the guiding force of our life. So Paul says things like this: walk by the Spirit who is in you. Live by the voice of the Spirit. And He will guide you how to live. And so When you're just doing your normal thing, okay, and you're going to school or you're going to work or whatever it is that you're doing, and know it's just kind of serendipity that God may show up and bring somebody across your path, and you get to release the presence of God into their life. Say, can I pray for you? And just ask God to come and touch their life. But there are also times that as we're just kind of going through life and doing our thing, And the serendipity nature of our life. And we're just doing that, and then all of a sudden God speaks very clearly to us, and He has a very specific assignment for us. It may not make sense, but have you ever been, you know, just minding your own business, and God seems to impress upon you to do something that's out of the ordinary? Anybody have that happen? Well, that's good, a few of us. Okay, you know what's going on is, God is about to say, I have a divine appointment for you.
I've got a task for you to do. It's not going to be difficult. It's just, but just do what I ask you to do. So you walk on tea and mints, this, or bed and bath, or whatever it is, you know, and you walk along the mall, and you all say, I had to go in there. And you think, I know a way I'm going in there. Yeah. And so okay, I guess I got to go in there. So you go in there. Well, what am I doing in here? And I have no idea what I'm doing in there. I just wanted to come in here. I just felt like I needed to come in here. I'm not going to buy any towels. I'm not going to buy any soap. I'm not going to buy any perfume. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just here. And you're just kind of walking around. Well, God, what is this? And God says, I have somebody in here that I want you to meet. Oh, okay. So now you begin to look around. Yeah. And I'm not here buying, but I'm here on assignment from God. Okay? So I don't have to buy anything. All of a sudden, it makes it sense. Okay, I'm just going to wait until God shows up with the person that it lays on my heart. And then I'm going to go enter into a conversation with them. And it's that simple. Okay, but God will often ask us to do that. Where did that thought come from? Well, it probably came from the Spirit of God wanting us to do something out of our normal routine because he has an assignment or somebody that he wants us to begin to share the presence of God with. Okay? Because wherever you go, God goes. So when you're with somebody and you want to pray for them, guess what? You just get to release the presence of God into their life. And that's simple. And at one point, we've got to go to God. Something happens. And in an instant, God is in us and goes with us. I love that. God goes with you and he goes with me. And gives us the opportunity to release his presence into the world wherever we go. Okay? So this week, guess what we get to do? We get to release the presence of God to those around us. Whenever God lays somebody on our heart to pray for them or whatever, do it and see what God does. Now, when your wife is taking you to that cultural center of Cook County, and, I don't want to go in there. Because if I walk in the wrong door, Nikki's going to get me. Yeah, that's an inside joke. Nikki, when she goes shopping at Walmart, she's really concerned about the lawless at Walmart. Those people who go into Walmart in the exit door and they come out the entrance door. Man, that just ticks her off. Yeah. So now every time I go, it's like, do I got to look around? Okay, Nikki's not here. I can go in this door. Yeah. Okay. So husbands, when you're sitting in the parking lot because you don't want to go in, okay? So you got a choice. You can sit there and just kind of twiddle your thumbs and sleep or whatever. Or maybe God says, I want you to look around, and whoever comes through the parking lot walks by your car, just pray for them. You don't have to know what you're praying for. God, bless them. God, I ask good to come to that person. And just bless the people that are walking by you. And you begin to release the presence of God into the parking lot, the cultural center of Cook County. That is awesome. Okay. So let's pray, shall we? And then we're going to have a baptism afterwards. So as soon as we're done praying, yeah, we'll get to them. David and Tony and Dakota, you can go get changed, okay, as soon as we're done praying. Well, God, we thank you for your goodness to us. You are such an awesome God that you have come to and you have chosen to dwell in us, that you have allowed us to be your dwelling place on this earth, that you are not confined to a building or to one location, but that you have the ability to be in every nation on the face of this earth right now because your people is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And wherever we go this week, Father, we are conscious of the fact that you go and you are there. And that we don't have to run back and ask you to come be with us. You are here. And we don't have to take people there. We just have to release you to them. Now, God, grant us favor this week to be able to do that so that in all ways, as your people, we release your presence to those around us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, just hang in there for just a second while the guys go get changed. We got some more prayer to do. We got to pray some more. Just want to give a couple of quick announcements. And that is Pioneer Club starts on Wednesday night. Yesterday, Kids Against Hunger was sacking up 20,000 meals, and so we had 9 youth go there. Any youth here that was there? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five of the 9, and Dakota's out, so we had 6 of the 9 youth that were that are here. Well, man, they worked hard. You know, I was really proud of them. We decided there were more people there than what they thought, and so they were going to, instead of working all day, we're in 15-minute increment shifts. And so it's like 15 minutes, how much can you get accomplished? And so we took 4 shifts, and our youth packed 522 packets of food, which came to 3,132 meals, because there were 6 meals in a packet. I'm so proud of them, man. They worked their tail off, and some of the other tables, they were doing okay. But they weren't doing as good as Cross Timbers was. So I'm just real pleased with that. And youth are having their back-to-school swim party tonight. PTO party's coming up in about 2 months. It's going to be great. It's going to be our 33rd annual PTO party. If you want to volunteer to help, because you're going to be volunteered, or you can volunteer. Okay, yeah, God is so good. Either way, you're going to be there and you're going to help, right? So why don't you just volunteer? And so you need to see Corinne, who is going to be our coordinator of the PTL party, or else Don Fox, and just say, hey, I'm going to be here on October 31st to help. What can I do? And they'll slot you in somewhere, okay? And that'd be great. Okay, we need to pray for... Mary and Mark Patrick's, just a second. Their sister-in-law has brain cancer. Her name is Cheryl Phillips, and they request that we would pray for her. Okay? And so when we pray, we're going to ask God to heal the brain tumor and just dissolve it so that she'll be healed and just will not have any side effects or anything like that. But God just miraculously will touch her head and heal her brain. Okay? Yeah. Pardon? Yes, Chris Gore. I was going to be here on September 20th in the evening. Chris Gore is a pastor out in Redding, California, via New Zealand. So he's going to come with a funny accent. But he had just a real dynamite. He's going to be in a conference down in Dallas the week before. And so we asked him, well, would you, if you're still around at the weekend, if we could have you? And he said he would. So he's going to be here on that evening on September 20th. And you'll really enjoy this guy. Okay. 7 o'clock. Joe? Okay. And what's her first name?
Shirley.
Shirley Mackey? Okay. We can do that. And then we also want to pray for Connie Tyler is going to have surgery tomorrow on her hip. And it's supposed to be home, I think, on Tuesday is what she said. But anyway, it's going to be just kind of a day surgery type of thing. But so she wanted us to pray for her surgery, okay? So Shirley Mackey, breast cancer.
Breast and bone
cancer, okay. And then Cheryl Phillips with a brain tumor. And then Connie Tyler. And let's just pray together, shall we? God, you encourage us to come with boldness and confidence before your throne of grace. And at that very place, that throne of grace, we will find strength and help in time of need. And we come on behalf of these individuals that have been mentioned. We come on behalf of Cheryl Phillips. And God, she has a need of physical healing. And so we ask that you would touch her body, and that brain tumor would dissolve and be gone in the name of Jesus. Father, we just speak your presence in her life right now. Go and minister to Cheryl. Not only do we ask for physical healing, but we would ask that there would be healing in her spirit and in her soul, that she would walk and live in wholeness, Lord. Father, we lift up Shirley Mackey and with breast cancer and bone cancer. And again, we would pray the same thing. That Lord, you would touch those tumors and you would dissolve the tumors and you would bring wholeness to Shirley's body. For you are the God who heals us. You are the God who is present in our life today. And so on Shirley's behalf, we speak wholeness to her body. Lord, remove every tumor. And then, Father, for Connie, as she goes into surgery tomorrow, we ask that you would be watching over her during this time of surgery, but you would bless the doctors, whatever they're going to be doing, that they would find out what they need to do and they would be able to do it quickly. There'd be no complications whatsoever, and that the healing process afterwards, or the recovery process, would go really well. And that that which is causing her pain when she stands and sits would just be gone once and for all, and that she would no longer have any pain. And we thank you for your presence with Connie. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. All right, let's exit out the back doors and we'll gather around and we'll have a baptism of Dakota and David and Tony.